You're listening to Crypto and Grill. Welcome back. This is Crypto and Grill. I am your host, Crypto Dantes. I'm here with my co-host, Stig of the Pump. Stig, say hello.
Hello, everyone. Hello. Welcome back.
What's going on, Stig? How are the markets today?
Hard. They've just been hard for a while. So, I mean, at least it's holding. We were talking about how ADA's been a very steady move for the last few days. Hasn't really done anything, but it's just been a steady eddy.
Well, we will come on to your friend Ada shortly. So today, what we wanted to talk about, the markets in crypto at the minute are absolutely horrendous. We're recording this on the 10th of August. In the last few days, the Bitcoin ETF and VanEck and SolidX have proposed has been delayed. Everyone expected that anyway, but a massive sell-off happened and alts have just bled. And we're going to talk about altcoins today and why you would buy them. And when I say bled, they've just lost value more than really. It's been pretty painful. So what we were going to talk about today was altcoins, so alternative coins, and exchanges. And you left us last time having gained immense knowledge and wealth around the how to buy Bitcoin and Ethereum space, what Bitcoin is, what Ethereum is. You also, if you followed the approach that we laid out, you've bought some coins and they're now sitting in your gateway app, whether that's Coinbase or blockchain.info, London Block Exchange, Xapo, Sapo, I can't pronounce that fucking thing.
Are we allowed to swear on this?
Yeah, I marked it as explicit so we can say whatever the motherfucker we want.
Motherfuckers.
Sorry
if that offended anyone.
I literally don't care. You've got some coins, and now you're doing crypto, but there's a bit more to it than that. And people will talk about their favorite coins and this project and that project and ICOs. There is more than Bitcoin and Ethereum out there. So in an episode in the not too distant future, we're going to cover shilling. And
by shilling, you'd mean not old English coin.
No, not the ye olde pence and pound and groats of the of Great Britain, but no, a shill is in crypto parlance is. I'm going to read out a description I found on the internet. A shill is an accomplice of a confidence trickster or swindler who poses as a genuine customer to entice or encourage others. So it's kind of like you and me. You're the shill, and I am the swindler.
An idiot.
There's a lot of that that happens in the crypto space, and we are going to cover ICOs and things in more general. But if you've started and you've bought some coins and you're starting to get into crypto and you quite like what the space brings and the whole blockchain and the ideology of it, you start doing some research and all there is on forums and Twitter and all these other sites is this coin is the best. This coin is going to pump 100x to the moon.
Going to the moon.
I'm going to get a Lambo. And it's ridiculous. So you've got to really weed out all of the noise and you've got to filter out all of the bullshit and just the ridiculous shilling that goes on.
A bit like when you speak.
Yeah, exactly. And what you have to do is find those coins or those alternative currencies that you genuinely believe in. And you know, it takes a while to understand which ones there are. Again, if you're just in it because you're a chancer and you just want to make some money in something, everyone's talking about it, fine, go for it. But I think, you know, we really believe you need to do some research in this space, and to do some research into a project that you think has got good fundamentals, it's got a team behind it that looks really capable and has got good credentials and track record. And you know, the problem that it's solving is a real problem, and it looks like it's got a strong roadmap ahead for delivery and building all these different components on top of the technology, then you know, maybe it is a good call. But you're only really going to know that by doing your research. So I think that's one of the key things. If you are going to get into alternative coins and alternative currencies, you need to just do your research, because there's so many scams and frauds out there. So that's today. So we're going to talk about altcoins and exchanges, how to buy them, and that should be enough. We did think actually today we'd kick off with a bit more fun. So we've got a new segment that we wanted to take you through. A segment we are calling The Grill. I feel like we need some kind of music there, like an intro or some kind of a jingle.
Maybe just some noise of a pan sizzling.
Yeah, something like that.
I'll cook some sausages over the weekend and I'll record the noise from it.
I like that. So Stig is going to walk us through this section. And basically, the way that we see this is that crypto is a brutal space. It is that there are face-melting pumps that happen, none of which I've experienced yet. only experienced getting destroyed. But Stig assures me that it is a profitable space and it's not entirely a scam. So I'm hoping that's true. But so, you know, you've got to keep a healthy mind, you've got to keep a healthy body, and crypto food, really, that we've seen online on Twitter, it tends to consist of soup and ramen noodles, because everybody's skint because they've been absolutely pummeled by the market. Basically, we just think, fuck that. No, let's talk about meat. Let's talk about grilled meat. And this is where the name came from. We bloody love steak. And personally, Druivers from South Africa is my favorite. That's a dried sausage for you connoisseurs. Yeah, so Stig, talk me through some of your favorite meat, and what can people expect to keep them healthy in this brutal crypto space from your recipe or your favorite cut. Go for it.
Well, so I'm gonna go really top end of the market straight away, but just sow in some nice seeds of what you should be aware of specifically when grilling red meat in particular. So my favorite thing to stick on a barbecue whenever times are shit, and I've lost thousands of dollars in a day thanks to
Bitcoin. You don't have
Bitcoin.
Thousands of dollars, you're lying.
Okay,
when
fine.
You lose money, it's about $50.
Hundreds of dollars, fine. Hundreds of dollars. I like to go and buy a big, large chunk of red meat from the butcher and stick it on the grill. But it's a nice experience, and therefore you need to treat it well. So what we're going to do is educate you a little bit around how you should grill your meat. And I take great pride in barbecuing. So first of all, I apologize if you have got one of these, but never use a gas barbecue. Full stop.
That's controversial. Controversial. Yeah. I do agree. I do agree. But gas barbecues are good for speed, though, aren't they?
Well, you say that, though. It's not exactly that hard to throw some coals on the fire and light them.
This is true.
Not rocket science. You now have you now have coals in a bag. It sets fire to itself.
This is true.
It doesn't, but anyway, so first of all, use a charcoal barbecue, gives a much better flavor. Second of all, buy good meat. If you're gonna do a barbecue and you're gonna do one for with friends, buy good meat. Now, my favorite is to have a few people over and do ribber beef, which is a bit of an extravagance, but you can negotiate with your butchers, and if you time it right, you can always get a good deal.
Do you buy your meat with Bitcoin?
I wish my butcher took crypto. That would be epic, but they don't.
Presumably, that's where all of your money and any kind of wealth that you have is tied up right now.
Well, that and vodka, yes.
Good, okay.
Pretty much. I will go to the butcher, and I'm going to be very precise about this. For four people, I will buy one rib, which is about 1.2 kilograms. And that will do four people perfectly. Now, I'm going to do a very simple recipe of this. You've got, and it goes really well with just a plain salad. You've got the grill going. It's the bag. The bags are on fire. It's all really nice. You start the grill on. Critical to this is you should have a clean grill. So at the, when you finish barbecuing, always clean your grill. Makes your meat better. So what you do is you take your beef out of the fridge. You let it rest. You then rub it in a massive salt, pepper, and paprika rub. So mix them all together in a bowl, cover your meat in it, and leave your meat for 10 minutes. And that will bring out all the nice juice and flavors. Really, really simply, stick your meat on the barbecue. So I cook it rare. So 8 on one side, do not move it. Flip it over, 8 on another.
8 minutes?
8 minutes each side. You can sear it in the pan first just to seal it, but either way, it doesn't matter. 8 minutes for, and that's for rare. You do 8 minutes on one side, 8 minutes on the other. You then take it off the barbecue, let it rest for 8 more minutes, clean your grill. After that 8 minutes of resting, put it back on the grill for another 8 minutes, flip it for another 8 minutes, and then take it off and rest it again for an 8 minute. So it should be 8, 8, 8, and the third 8 is a rest, 8, 8, 8. The last round, you just take it off and you let it rest for another 8 minutes, and then it's good to go, and your meat will be perfect. So if you like it probably slightly more medium, then probably 10 minutes and do 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, or 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12. You want to start getting a slightly more well done, or just basically stick it in the oven for an hour if you just want to cook the whole way through.
So that's what a touching story about meat. I really thought that was going to last about 1 minute, but thanks for that really arduous tale that we've all survived now. The main takeaway is there, guys, clean your grill and rest your meat. That is what I've heard.
You won't regret it.
So let's get back to business. Let's talk about exchanges. So, Stig. Tell me about exchanges. So I'm going to tee you up here, but I want you to talk to the audience about what happens when you send money from your Coinbase account to an exchange. Just one thing to bear in mind, there are kind of three big areas of, or I personally break exchanges down into three kind of segments. You've got the old school exchanges that were popular over the last couple of years, the ones that are kind of dying a little bit with a lot of what people call shit coins at the moment, and there's the ones that seem to be doing quite well at the moment. So the old school ones, Poloniex, Kraken, Bittrex, they're the ones that people got the massive pumps over the last couple of years on, and that's where you hear about a lot of crypto millionaires being made. Because they've gone in on these altcoins and shitcoins and bought hundreds of thousands, and then, you know, Verge was below a cent at one point, I think, and ended up last year around about 15 cents, maybe even higher when John McAfee, the security advisor, mentioned it and referred to it, or maybe even shilled it on Twitter, and it just went through the roof. So there's a lot of coins that provide different technologies on these old sites that rocketed over the last couple of years. The modern ones, or the ones that are sort of still there, that seem to be not doing so great at the moment, or haven't got a great collection of coins on there, is HitBTC and Cryptopia. Cryptopia seems okay, but it's just got quite a collection of shit coins on there at the moment that not many people are interested in. And when you've got shit coins and not much interest, then that means low liquidity, therefore easier to pump and dump. And you know, you might get ruined along the way if you're exposed to one of those projects. HitBTC, I'm not entirely sure what's going on there, but there's a lot of problems and a lot of negative press surrounding it at the moment, but haven't got any details, but it just looks like it's got some challenges. Other ones that are more important at the moment, I think Binance is probably the main one, and we'll focus on Binance today and the Binance experience, because that's probably the best one to articulate. BitHump, I think, which is a Korean exchange, I believe. Huobi, which is a Chinese exchange, and there's another one, L-Bank, again, sort of, I think that might be Singaporean, I'm not too sure. But basically, all these different exchanges have different locations. And location, I never thought would be an issue or a problem. Wouldn't even think it would factor into anything. But it seems, and correct me if you think differently, Stig, but it seems that anything that gets listed on an exchange that's predominantly based in Korea absolutely pumps. I mean, and when we talk about listing, not all of these crypto projects are live right now. It's like kind of the old startup Silicon Valley kind of environment in the 90s. New projects, new companies, new blockchains, new crypto projects are coming along all the time. And to get liquidity and for people to buy their coin, they need to be listed on an exchange, or they need to airdrop tokens, and we'll cover that another time. If you want to buy these coins, they get paid to get listed usually on these different exchanges. Binance, to get listed on Binance Exchange, I think costs 400 Bitcoins, which is about $2.5 million, something like that.
And that's in comparison to, I think I read the other day that it's $250,000 to list on the New York Stock Exchange, isn't it?
I'm not
something
sure.
Ridiculous. I actually think that is correct. So it's nearly 10 times more expensive.
Either way, Binance are making bank. BitHump, I'm not sure, but I've seen a couple of coins get posted on there and pump like 50% in an hour. It's just nuts. There's definitely a correlation between the appetite to buy a coin and the exchange that it goes on. But
definitely, probably while we're on this, mention IDEX as well, which is usually where any token that's created that's on an ERC, the Ethereum network, the ERC-20 token standard, which we covered last week, that's where they usually go because they can pretty much list immediately. But it has really low liquidity, so nothing really does that much there.
And low liquidity basically means that you can create pumps and dumps, and if because the price can be manipulated. So if there's not that many coins on there, or there's not that many people buying the coins on there, then just one person who's got quite a bit of money can sucker everybody else and pump the price up, sell all their coins at the top, and leave everyone else holding coins all the way back down to the price that they were at the beginning or lower. You want to ideally avoid coins that are subject to things like that.
The old adage is, if it looks too good to be true, then it is probably a pump or a dump.
I've not heard that old adage, but it sounds wonderful. That's what I said. That's what you're listening. So why don't you talk us through? So we've covered a bit about exchanges. We're going to go into Binance in a bit more detail. There's a couple of things that I want to say. Why don't you talk us through how to actually how do you get your coins onto Binance? Go.
So just to be clear also, this is more a reminder to us both. We're covering off what we are talking about with altcoins, tokens, and everything else. We're going to cover that off after we've just had a little chat about exchanges.
Yeah, it's just important to know what an exchange is. I think we likened it in the last episode to the notion of a currency exchange, traditional currency exchange, where you're going on holiday, you go and buy some money in advance of going there, and you swap your native currency for their native currency and take it with you. It's the similar kind of concept here. So yeah, exactly. Over to you, Stig.
Great. It will give us a bit of a break from your sharp intakes of breath.
savage.
I'm feeling really bitchy today. I don't know what's wrong with me. Exchanges. Well, so it really actually probably where we should start is talking about Coinbase again, because we mentioned it in the last podcast. Coinbase basically is a very centralized exchange, but that is probably the most user-friendly sort of consumer Joe Blogs, whoever Joe Blogs is, exchanged for people to go and buy tokens on. And you can trade them because you're buying one for the other. The problem is that you are anchored on fiat. So what we mean by an actual exchange, like a proper exchange, of which Binance is the most well known, is it's a place that gives you the ability to send cryptocurrency that you own and start trading in all sorts of other cryptocurrencies. That's basically it. It's basically a trading platform. But the problem I'm finding, and I have found the whole way through, is a lot of the trading platforms it's going to be interesting to see how this is dealt with, but a lot of the exchanges that people go and trade and buy other alternative coins, they're all set up to look like financial trading sites. They're not built for the Joe Blogs of the world, which will be the majority of the people that end up using cryptocurrency. They're not user friendly. They're not easy to understand. Half the people probably won't understand what a candlestick is, let alone what the chart is saying.
And that's why I guess Coinbase does so well, because it's user friendly and you can buy straight away from your dollars or your pounds or your euros, whatever you have deposited in there, straight into Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum, Ethereum Classic. So, you know, it's I'm not sure what else there is. Maybe that's it. So it's a good gateway. But you're right. If you want access to these other coins, you need to get it onto an exchange. And the user experience is quite tough right now. How
that will change. That will change, though.
So tell me about. So the first time I did this, I this is the point at which I thought I was probably being scammed. So how do you send your Bitcoin from Coinbase to Binance?
So critically, okay. So I'm assuming that you have gone onto the Binance website. You've gone into the App Store because that's where the Binance app now is. You've downloaded the Binance app and you've created an account. And what you'll need to do that is to go through all of their security processes that you need to, and specifically set up Google two-factor authentication, which sounds complicated. It's actually really, really basic once you've downloaded it. And I know we've got
just got on that actually, two-factor authentication. I think is a key one for everyone to know. If you're in crypto and you're on sites, you need two-factor authentication on everything. You need two-factor authentication on everything because it's very easy to have your password stolen and then someone can access your site and just take all of your coins and transfer them out, and there's nothing you can do. I listened to quite a few other podcasts. Cheeky plug of another one here, but there's a Rekt podcast, R-E-K-T, by a decent
love those guys, team guys.
Yeah, they're just quite funny. I was listening to the most recent one, and Cynthia Wood, who is one of the presenters on there, she told a story about how her phone, and I think her husband's phone, was either stolen or hacked, and every account was hacked into. And the only thing that saved her was the fact that she had two-factor authentication across all of her crypto accounts. Otherwise, they'd have had access to every crypto coin that they have because they weren't in cold storage wallets. So, you know, it's a real thing so that you need to protect yourself with. So as you're setting up your account, as you said, Stig, get two-factor authentication. It's really key.
Yeah, and it's interesting, actually. I first ever used it for this, but I'm now finding that I'm having to use it more and more in other applications as well. So it's not just crypto that you need it in, it's other things as well. But anyway.
So do you send your coins from Coinbase to a central Binance account, or is there a nuance in there? Loaded question.
So what you do is you go to the deposit part of Binance, which is relatively easy to find. When I say relatively easy, it is very easy and obvious to find. You click on deposit and you will search for the specific coin that you want to deposit. So if you're wanting to deposit Ether, Ethereum, you will type in ETH and it will come up, and if you click on it, it will then produce a page of information. That page of information specifically has the Ethereum wallet address linked to your Binance account. So your Binance account has a different wallet address for every single coin that you could potentially buy on Binance. So if you had Cardano or ADA in a different account, you would have a specific wallet address for you to deposit your ADA into. Same with Bitcoin, same with Ethereum. It all looks as one balance, but you just have very specific addresses, and that's because they're different addresses from different blockchains, ultimately. So you've copied your Ethereum address, your Binance Ethereum address. You go back into your Coinbase app, and you will then go, you'll click into your Ethereum wallet or your Ethereum part of your Coinbase account, and you will, or any other accounts. We are obviously agnostic to any kind of exchange. We just use we use examples of the ones that we have used before. You then select the Ethereum send page, and it will give you a load of information. Now, yes, you can use QR codes to do this. We've kind of discussed, don't particularly like QR codes, or I'm a bit useless with them, whereas you aren't. So you paste in the address, or you click your camera over and get the QR code, and then type in the amount of ether that you want to send, and you just send it. And you'll, like most things when you do something first in crypto, probably crap your pants because you don't know what you're doing.
You always crap your pants.
It was so nerve-wracking.
You must have to change your pants all the time.
Shut up.
So the important thing there then is...
I've got something important to say. Very important. And this is always recommended. And we mentioned it in the last podcast, and we're going to mention it again. If you're doing something for the first time, send a small amount. Do not send tens of thousands or thousands or all of the money that you've bought Ethereum in straight away as a first offer transaction. Send a small amount first and send it, even though it will be relatively expensive to do, it just makes you, it makes certain that you are copying and pasting the right things. And for Bitcoin, it will probably take 2 hours to go through till it's on the exchange. For Ethereum, it will be a little bit quicker, but send a small amount first. A very important thing.
And take an extra pair of underwear. Death stares on the video cam. So the main thing that I'm taking away from that, yeah, there's two-factor authentication is key. Always send a small amount. And also, it's always, you should always send like for like. So send from your Bitcoin account to another Bitcoin account. It's, there is no central Binance account that you send it to. You have to Bitcoin to Bitcoin, Ethereum to Ethereum, Litecoin to Litecoin, etc., etc. Always. Otherwise, you risk losing it.
And I have lost it by that. So it's not.
It may be retrievable. I don't know. I don't know enough in detail about how to retrieve. I just I've heard some horror stories. So yeah, don't risk it, guys. Okay, so that's helpful. So your money's in Binance. How do you trade for it then? How do you I think the next step there is what are you going to buy with that? And I'll come back to you in a moment, Stig, to take us through what to buy and how to buy and what's the difference between limit market and stop limit or which one you'd recommend using. But just to think about, just one thing to say about the Binance homepage, right? You log into the Binance, once you set your account up and you log in for the first time, even before you've deposited any coins, it's just an absolute nightmare. You look at it, it's sensory overload. It's like being at a Katy Perry concert, right? There's fucking flashing lights, some red, some green, there's some sharks dancing around in the corner. You don't know what's going on. It's just absolutely nuts. So I think even if you click on the basic page, it should take you to the Bitcoin homepage, and you've got a big chart in there. And depending on when you're listening to this, it's red candle after red candle. And a candle basically just means a long line showing the last hour of price movements or the last designated time segment of price movements. And on the left, you've got all of the orders that are going through and who's buying what for what price and who's selling what. And then on the right, you've got loads of different coin pairings and favorite selections and trade histories. And it is pretty overwhelming. So just give yourself about 10 minutes just to look your way around this page. Just be comfortable with it. Try and just make sure you know what every sort of thing does, every section is, before you take the next step. Because, again, it's kind of, with everything in crypto, it's like learning a new skill. And once you've figured it out,
You don't need to know all of it, though.
You don't need to know it, you're right. But it's overwhelming, and you just don't want to press the wrong button. So just there's very little you can do wrong, really. That's not true. There's quite a lot you can do wrong. But just get used to it. And if in doubt, Google a help guide or how to buy a certain coin. And there are a few guides and videos online that tell you how to buy, say, Basic Attention Token, BAT, how to buy BAT. Google that, and there's a screenshot by screenshot guide and a video guide of how to do it. That'll help.
You tend to use the desktop one, don't you? Predominantly the desktop.
No, do you know what? I actually use the app more than anything. I've got the desktop I've got the desktop one open now, but usually I use the app because that's so much easier and so much cleaner to use. But the desktop one just fucking crazy.
Yeah, because I rarely ever use the desktop version, and I tend to use the mobile application because it is actually easier. It's more stripped down, and therefore it's actually easier to navigate your way around without feeling like your head's going to explode.
Cool. So let's talk about altcoins and how to buy them, and then we'll come on to, I guess, the final bit of the show where why you would buy them and what they're good for. Mm-hmm. Stig, talk us through. You've got your Bitcoin in. It's arrived now in your Binance account. How are you going to buy a coin? Choose one as an example and go for it.
Choose one. Okay. So I'm going to choose the one that is performing the best right now.
You've got issues with ADA right now. You've got a very angry relationship with ADA. Why don't you take us?
Oh, I love ADA. ADA's been steady Eddie at the moment.
Well, go on then. Then you can tell us why you love ADA. So go.
So I'm going to talk you through the process based on the mobile application, just because I do think it's the easiest route, and it's the one that I'm most familiar with. So the first thing that you should do is check you've got, so if you open up the app, you will have a screen in front of you, which is a home screen, which has a load of rubbish on. I really actually hope they do something about that home screen, because I actually don't particularly like it. But anyway, and then you've got sort of five icons at the bottom, which is home, markets, trade, funds, and accounts. Accounts is all your account detail. We're not going to cover anything in that. So if you click on funds, what that will do, hopefully, if you have sent Ethereum or have sent Bitcoin to Binance, it will show a balance of Bitcoin or Ethereum in there. I'm going to talk through Bitcoin specifically and use that as the anchor. So on all trades, you have three anchor currencies that you have to trade from to another currency. And those are Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Tether, or the USDT. Tether is a stable currency which is linked to the US dollar. So it's particularly useful when you think the market's going to tank, or you think, or you hear a rumor that it's going to go down. If you want to protect the value that you have, you can sell your Bitcoin or your Ethereum or anything into Tether, and it won't lose its value. It will just stay the same price as the US dollar.
Are you calling it Tether? This is amazing. It's called Tether. With a
Tether.
Amazing.
The easiest way I usually find then is to go into the markets page and look at it. And again, it will be very confusing, but ultimately what you will see in front of you, and I'm going to click on this, let's go on the search button. And we talked a bit about ADA, ADA. It's very helpful that my app is being particularly slow. But basically, if you go into the Bitcoin page and go search at the top right hand corner and type in ADA, it should bring up Bitcoin and ADA as a trading pair. So you're on the markets page. So what I would suggest, you at the top, you have favorites, BNB, which is the Binance coin, Bitcoin, Ether, and the USD Tether. Click on the Bitcoin one, which is in the middle. Above right of that will be a search button. Type in the coin that you want to search, or the pairing that you want. So in our case, ADA, ADA, which is the Cardano currency. And then you will see the different trading pairs for ADA, which is Binance, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and USDT. You're trying to buy ADA with Bitcoin, so you click on the ADA BTC. And what this will bring up is the trading screen. And so you have an opportunity to hit buy or sell. We're obviously going to hit buy. So let's hit buy. We hit buy, and we have suddenly got this screen in front of us, which is very confusing, but and has sort of trades and orders going down the right. It's got bid and ask walls and showing you the volume in the market at the bottom, which is all very confusing. We'll cover that at a different point in time when we do a bit on trading. What we're very simply going to do is we want to buy some ADA at the market price. And so what we're going to do is focus on the top left-hand quadrant. In the top left-hand quadrant, you will have the ability to set a limit order, a market order, or a stop limit. We'll again cover those in more detail and what they are another time. But what we're going to do specifically at this point is click market order. A market order then gives you the opportunity to basically, it says market price, and then allows you to set the number that you want to buy. So let's say we've got $1,000 in there and we want to buy 10,000, we wouldn't have enough, 5,000 ADA. We would type 5,000 ADA into that box, or you could say I want to buy 25%, so you could click below and it will set 25% or 50%. But you end up with a number in that box. It's set at the market order. You then hit buy and you bought it.
Woo-hoo! It's that simple.
That's it.
Yeah, basically, I'm
stuff. It's like trading stuff and a lot of noise, which we'll cover off. But ultimately, if you just want to buy something and just hold it, it's that simple.
Yeah, the easiest way is, or to be fair, I only ever really market buy. I'd love to be sort of composed enough to be a trader and set limits and decide what I feel is a reasonable price for something. But most of the time I just FOMO in and just think, yep, I want that coin. And then I realize it's already pumped about a minute ago, and then it dumps and I've already lost 50% of my coin. So good. Okay, that is really helpful. Thank you for that overview, Stig. So again, what I'm taking away from that is you've got your money in Binance. The key thing is to send it from Bitcoin to Bitcoin, Ethereum to Ethereum, that, you know, otherwise you lose it. At that point, select the coin that you want to buy and make sure that you either buy a market order if you can, if you want to buy it immediately, or set a price at which you want it to buy. We will cover that in the trading lesson another time. I say lesson, it will be more like a lecture. We will then, and then you click market buy, and you either buy 100% of the value of that in Bitcoin or Ethereum. And there you go, you are now the proud owner of an altcoin, or as what other people call them, shit coins.
I'm going to intercede very, very quickly. There's a couple of things just to pick up before you move on. One is your shitcoin, your altcoin that you may want to buy may not be on Binance. It may be on a different exchange. So if you're specifically hunting down something that you want to buy or invest in, then you may have to go to one of the other exchanges. That's fine. They all kind of work in the same way. They have slightly different interfaces, but they tend to all work in the same way. And there's some newer and more user-friendly exchanges coming out. So I know the guys at TokensNet, they're creating a really nice, simple exchange, which looks very similar to Binance.
Hashtag, you own some, I have a bag. Page, you're not a paid shill, but you are shilling the fuck out of it. So you shade the
like
fuck.
Their tech. I like their tech.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, some are easy to use, some are less easy to use. Thanks for calling me out, my shill. They're listening, please send me some free DTR. Thank you.
So, why would one be interested in buying altcoins? Let's finish on that. Why would I not just hold Bitcoin?
Well, so critically, I think we need to cover off, and we've mentioned this a bit previously, what we're talking about now, and what we're talking about when we sort of flip between shitcoins, altcoins, tokens. They're ultimately all the same thing. It's anything that isn't Bitcoin, ultimately. And what we need to remember is that tokens are split or have three characteristics. They're either a store of value, they're either a DAT or a payment type, or they're a utility token. Now, all tokens pretty much at the moment are being used and treated like stores of value. However, they will not always be the case. The majority of them as well are actually built on being a utility. So they provide the network that is around the system that they're building. They provide a utility to them, i.e. it could be a token that is used to pay someone for using their cloud computer storage space. Even though it sounds like a payment type, it's not an actual currency, it's a utility that's used in that network.
So let's just use that example. So I think the one you're talking about there is Golem, a coin called Golem.
Or any others, not specifically, but yeah, Golem's probably the...
Just an example. And the Golem is basically a decentralized supercomputer. And effectively what it does as a project is uses spare capacity from anyone around the world that's running the Golem software, running as a node. And then if I want to access additional capacity to process some quite challenging, not transactions, but processing power, I can access all of this additional capacity and run my calculations or whatever I need to through it using the Golem network. But I may have to pay for that with Golem tokens. So people that run the Golem nodes get paid in Golem tokens, which go up in value the more that they're used, and people that need to use access decentralized supercomputer can do that by depositing Golem tokens, and you can buy those tokens from exchanges. And every altcoin or shitcoin or whatever you want to call them has a similar concept. It's a different use case, but the coins effectively power the network, and they will create those incentives in the market for people to run nodes and to provide their computing power, their processing power, and run the software of that particular project to provide some kind of service. So I think, you know, yes, there is utility in these things, but if you're a speculator, typically these are the coins that pump more aggressively than Bitcoin. So most people tend to trade on exchanges and buy altcoins because they tend to outperform Bitcoin in terms of growth. Now, I think there was XRP, which is the token that powers Ripple. XRP last year grew something like 35,000% at the same time that Bitcoin grew 2,000%. So Bitcoin went up from 1,000 to 20,000, and Ripple went up from I don't even know what it was, maybe below 10 cents, something like that, down to up to $3.30, something like that, at its peak in January. So, you know, these things can pump much harder and gain more in real percentage terms. And what people tend to do is use that as a way of gaining more Bitcoin, is my experience.
Yeah, and we, again, I think we should bring on this point in the trading episode, is why you should be thinking about your value in Bitcoin and Satoshi versus dollars.
Yeah, and as Satoshi, as we covered in the last episode, is the smallest unit of a Bitcoin. So there are 100 million Satoshis in one Bitcoin. If you're in the camp that we are, in the belief that actually Bitcoin is going to be a real global currency in the near future, and mass adoption is around the corner, the game you need to be playing is gaining as much as many Satoshis, as many Bitcoins as you possibly can, and just watching that rise. And yeah, it may rise slower than some of these other altcoins, but it's more of a sure bet. And these altcoins, you can't guarantee that they're not going to die or be hacked or do something wrong. Bitcoin is the only true coin without any ownership or CEO, for want of a better phrase. All the other altcoins have got a lead developer, a managing director, chief exec, whatever. There's always someone at the top who could make a decision that causes the value of that coin to plummet. So there's so much risk involved in altcoins that really Bitcoin is the safest bet, in my personal humble opinion.
It's not financial advice, though, or trading advice.
No, it's just life advice. But that's why I personally invest in altcoins, is to increase my Bitcoin value and hopefully get as much of that as possible before it goes to the motherfucking moon. So that is it. Anything you wanted to add on the altcoins topic before we close for today?
I don't think so. We shouldn't really be covering off. If anyone wants to know what the kind of things that we like at the moment, then just check out our Twitter accounts. We've got some examples of the things that we're excited and interested in, both what we've invested in, but also what we're looking to pick up in the near future or have picked up.
Let's do a shill episode. We'll do a shill and we'll just talk
We're going to shill all our bags.
Yeah, but we'll do that. We'll wait until we've got loads of listeners for that, so that then they can go and buy them too. But
that counts, as in like 10?
Yeah, it's fine. The thing to say is this is not a pyramid scheme. So that is the main lesson of today. That brings us to a close today. We hope you enjoyed the show. We will be back next time. We've started to get some interviews lined up, so hopefully that will dilute the monotone voice of Stig a little bit more in future episodes.
Did you not just hear yourself speak for 2 minutes?
Hope you're well.
I fell asleep.
I've been Crypto Dantes.
And I've been Stig of the Pump.
Fuck you.